So, of course, to succeed, we have to follow the instructions from Jesus. And, you know, he said that, you know, his disciples, he wanted them to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And, of course, Advent and Christmas, it's, you know, it's all about the light. So, so I guess I, you know, just to sum it up, I just hope and pray that, you know, we have this spiritual growth in this congregation, that we grow closer to the Lord, and that we really make this a beacon, you know, the right way. Again, numbers will come, you know, but once we lead with the spiritual growth, that's what's going to bring us, that's what's going to bring, you know, that light up from above, and that's certainly going to bring light into the valley. So now this, you know, this Christmas season, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Let's give him a birthday present. Let's do that spiritual growth and have this church grow. Thank you.
Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Marcia. It grows with you. Amen. The church grows with you. The more you get involved, the more you love God, the more you tell people about God, the more lives you change, the better the church grows in his name. Amen. We're celebrating the birth of who? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Where were you before you were born? Has anybody ever thought of that? Have you started to think about that? And then I ask you, how far would you go to save another? How far would you go to save a life? Now, what pain would you go through to save that life? What pain would you suffer, Jim? The humiliation. Would you go through humiliation to save somebody? What about mocking, being mocked for trying to save somebody? And while you're doing that, not say a word. How many would you do that? Now, I believe in reading this word and studying that God knew that Adam would fail. Amen? Can I get an amen? God knew that Adam would fail. When he cast Satan down, God knew that the serpent would be able to entice Eve. Amen? He knew that. God knew he sent the serpent down to the earth. He put Adam in the garden, and he knew that Adam would fail. It was as if God allowed Adam to be deceived. And then, and I wrote that, and then right away the Lord's Prayer came. How many of you have said the Lord's Prayer every day? Do you ever look at and think about what it says? And when I saw that, I said it was deceived. And then I remember it said, lead us not into temptation. Who taught us that? Jesus. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Adam wasn't there yet. He had me. So I think it was almost as if God allowed Adam to be deceived. Deliver us from evil. Adam was alone with who? The deceiver. Adam and Eve were there, and who was there with them? The deceiver. The serpent. We'll call him the serpent because it said it in the Bible. He must have felt like after Adam ate the apple or the fruit, he must have thought like he won. Amen? There's God's creation. There's the Garden of Eden. There's the two, Adam and Eve. And he made Eve and Adam eat of the fruit. The serpent must have thought that he won. Now, there's another time in this Bible where the serpent, where the devil thinks that he won. Anybody remember where that is in the Bible where the devil actually thinks that he won? On the cross. When Jesus went on the cross, he thought he won. Jesus is going to die on the cross. And at that death, he realized, at that death, he lost everything. It was over for him. Those two times in the Bible where he thought Adam and Eve ate, he won. Amen? God knew. Who knew? God knew that there could only be one sacrifice that would destroy Satan forever. God knew. Let me read. You say, how can you know that? Let me read from Isaiah. If you want to read it at home, it's Isaiah 53. But listen to what God knew. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Isaiah is talking about Jesus. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And then it says, but he was, who was wounded? Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took it all upon himself and said, by his stripes, by every whip, we are healed. Then it said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And listen, he was led as a lamb to slaughter. As a what? A lamb to slaughter. Yet it, listen to this, these three lines. Listen, God knew, listen, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord, Father, to bruise Jesus. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And it says this, by his knowledge, by Jesus' knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgression. Amen. That was why he was born. Amen. We're going to celebrate the baby Jesus. But Pat, you want to know why he came? That was why. Because God knew there was only one sacrifice that was going to destroy the deceiver forever. And listen to this. This is the serpent, Jim, could not have even conceived that. The devil could never conceive what God already knew. He couldn't even conceive such a sacrifice. The devil thought he had reign here forever and he was going to reign over us, and all the things that we did with the animals and the burnt animals and the high priest and all the blessing were nothing compared to what he can do. He could not conceive of such a sacrifice. Are you with me? Again, I ask you this. Where were you before you were born? Where were you? Let me read some scriptures that you might have never read or never thought of, but to know what God knows. Thank you, Lord. See, it happens to me too. Happens all the time, trust me. Psalm 139, listen to this. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. The Bible is telling us that his eyes saw our substance before we were even born. Amen. Unformed, it said. And Job, it said, did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? And in Jeremiah, listen to this in Jeremiah, what God is saying. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Would you have sacrificed everything the way God did if you knew what you were going to face? He knew you before you were born. Amen. That's scripture. That's talking about our Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Again, where were you? I want to talk about John. Y'all know my friend John in the Bible, John the disciple. Jim, we talked about this the other day. In the Bible, John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Do you ever wonder why that was? Why that was? And you think about it. Some of your children work hard at school to make their parents proud and their grandparents proud. They do all their chores. They're great at sports. They do that because they want to make their mom and dad proud. They want to excel. Then there's the child who does good at school. He does great at school, but what he really wants is the seat next to dad, or the seat next to mom, or to be with her nana. That's all she wants. She's a great child. Your children are great, and you see the difference, but there's that one that would sacrifice all to just be riding in the car and listening to dad talk or being with her nana. We talk, my bride and I talk, our granddaughter Madison is 11 years old. If we asked her tomorrow, would she like to come here and live with us? She would say, absolutely. And we say, what about your mom? And she said, well, mama can come visit me. She loves her mother more than you can imagine, but she adores her nana, because there's a special bond. She wants to know everything there is to know about her nana, where we play, who we talk to, who's in church talks to. She wants to know everything. So when she sees her other nieces and nephews, someday she'll talk about nana, and she will tell them things that they don't even know and believe, because they're wonderful grandchildren, but they want to go outside and play. They want to do things that they want to do. Madison wants to be with nana. You see, that is John. If I can put this in your heart like it's in my heart, to see, that was John. The one who wants to hear about everything because they love so different. That was the John with Jesus. And when I read John in the Bible, it's almost, Jim, like he's bragging about his best friend. He's telling you in this book, and now whatever religion you come, whatever denomination, this is the Holy Bible that you hold in your hand in that church. In this book, that John is telling us about somebody he loved with all his heart, and somebody that he spent the time with, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen? So he spent the time with Jesus. Jesus, tell me about this. Jesus, tell me that. And so when you read the Gospel of John, the Gospel is simply meaning good news. This is what you hear from John. This is what John tells us. In the beginning was the Word. Was the what? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What was the Word? So John is telling us only what Jesus could have told him. Amen? He didn't make this up. He's saying in the beginning, brothers and sisters, in the beginning, Walter, Jesus was there with God in the Word. He was the Word. He was there. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Means the world didn't understand who he was. There was a man sent from Galilee whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, who was Jesus, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. How many men? Every. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, Jesus, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. What did he give you the right to be? Children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. John 3:16. Everybody knows the scripture. For God so loved you that he gave you and me his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus might be saved. Praise God. If you would imagine the conversations that God and Jesus had through all the time of Noah, through all the time of Abraham, through all that time, knowing that there was going to come a time when the sacrifice, the lamb that was slain, would have to come here to do what? Redemption and salvation. Are you with me? The baby Jesus, God's gift to his creation. And how could we, his people, ever stop loving him and praising him forever? His gift, the baby Jesus, Jim, was for us. For us. We will, listen, we will have a time, there'll be a time that faith will no longer be needed. Do you understand what that means? There will be a time when you reach the heaven and you see your father and mother and you see Jesus and you see God, that no longer will you need faith. Amen? You won't need the faith. Thank you, Lord. Brothers and sisters at Second Congregational and those who love God, this is your time to show faith, thanksgiving, and praise to our Father who art in heaven. This is our time. And I will close with this. Tomorrow morning is Christmas. Tonight we're celebrating the birth. We're all spiritual and religious. Tomorrow we'll share in the beautiful thing of opening gifts and sharing gifts and giving gifts and seeing the joy and giving something special, that happiness. As our fathers and mothers tried to give us when we were little, the things that we wanted, the flexible flyer. As we tried to get the bicycle. as you want to give to your children and to your grandchildren something that will make their hearts shine. Hallelujah. Husbands and wives wanting to give something to your spouse tomorrow that says how much I really love you. No matter what we disagree with, how much we disagree, how fast I'm going down the road, watch out for the sign, look at the traffic, put the gas in the car, why you do? I love you with all my heart. Tomorrow you want to give that gift. Amen. God, say that with me. God gave us the greatest gift of all. The little baby Jesus. He gave his son for us. He gave his children, us, redemption, salvation forever and ever. God gave his son. The birth of that Jesus was the beginning of your victory. Give him praise and give him thanks.